likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater.
We need a return to secrecy. I think that's one of the problems in this world, in this age, in these times. This is how I feel. Secrecy might sound nefarious. It might sound like a naughty, suspicious, nasty thing. But I disagree, my dears. I think the overt willingness to divulge, it's pretty vulgar when you think about it. I was gonna say privacy, but I think I mean secrecy. There's a difference to me. Secrecy seems more serious than privacy. I kind of gave up on privacy a long time ago when email became a thing. And it's just, I always just assume everything I send is being monitored, because everything I send is being monitored. And not just because of the conditions of my parole, mind you, because this is where we are in society. Everybody's a little too comfy sharing. And I think that's to the detriment of, Earth. Yeah, Earth. I don't want to be hyperbolic or anything, but it's the worst thing that could possibly happen. When you get comfortable, when you get comfy, when you get a little too chit-chatty, when you get a little too divulgy about your secrecy, about your privacy, about what's going on with you, it makes you a monster, I will say. Now, if you're out there, you might think, well, Dave, what do you mean? Sharing is good. Sharing of yourself and what's going on in your life and putting it out to people and being communicative, this is a good thing. You might even say it's one of the signs of an enlightened mind. But I disagree. Because the proof is always in the poontang, and nobody's happy. Everybody's miserable. Everybody's anxious, anxiety, and oh God, I'm nervous all the time, and I'm not happy. And you know why? You want to know why? You want to know why everybody's, well, one of the reasons, there's a myriad of reasons, but one of the big ones, I feel anyway, and again, I'm just a social scientist observing things, but people are so screwy because they're way too open about their own lives. You need to keep a piece of yourself. You need to keep a big piece of yourself. You need to have things that you don't confide to the world, because that keeps you. Also, it's pretty vulgar. It's pretty stupid. Like, we take pictures of our food. That's about as TMI as I could imagine, because it's so utterly stupid. Nobody needs to know every little fucking thing you think. Now, I know you might say, Dave, that's funny coming from somebody who does a show every week where they sit down and talk about what they think to random strangers. But my case is different, because I'm lonely. And also, this is an educational program. So this is for learning. If you have an inquisitive mind, come, learn, hear me tell my tales of splitting pants and crushing box and all the things that I do. I don't share all of this with just anyone. You're my pals out there. And I trust you. I would never, ever show a picture of my food to mere mortals that I don't trust. Because once again, secrecy. You need to keep a part of you. And everybody's so intent on sharing and showing and, hey, look at this. Look at what I'm up to. Look at what I'm doing right now. Look at where I work. Look at what I do. And you're never going to be happy that way. Because what exactly are you looking for? A pat on the back? Hey, great choice in food. That looks, I bet that was great. You make wonderful food purchasing decisions. What's the point? What's the goal? What's the main idea? The main idea is there is none. What are you looking for with all of this sharing? And wouldn't it be better to just keep that on the inside, where it matters, where it has value, where it's a part of you? Because nobody's going to appreciate you more than you could ever possibly appreciate yourself. You do need that. You need the validation. You need the way to go. You need to keep it up. But it only works if it comes from you and if you mean it. Because everyone is a bastard. And we all want you to fail. I know, because everybody wants me to fail. See? You finally see where I'm getting at with all of this. Privacy. Secrecy. Keeping a little something of yourself to yourself. And isn't that what all the ladies want? They want the mystery. They want, ooh, who's that guy? See, ladies, I know how you look at me. I see you. I have eyes. And, when I'm in an alleyway rocking back and forth, sitting in a dark corner, and a fine young filly, you know, struts on by, she turns and she sees me muttering to myself, and she says, that guy right there has things going on in the old cabeza, and, you know, it's mysterious. It's interesting. It's contagious, you could say. In a word, but they all want the mystery, see? And that's the only thing that we're not giving people. Is the, it's like, oh, I have a thought. Let me just go barf it. Let me just go puke this up real quick. Let me let everybody know what I feel about every little issue, because I'm somehow important enough where that matters. And nobody cares. People don't even want to care. They don't want to pretend they care. Like, I often sit and fantasize about a world where I had a mother's love, and it makes me think about if things had worked out different. What if? You know, what if Dave's life was different? What if I crept on the internet after a soulful session of mercilessly beating off to, let's just say, aggressive pornography, and I went on some kind of social media or a Twitter or an Instagram or a monk box or whatever the fucking kids are using these days. I don't know. And I had loads and loads and loads of friends, and everything that I wrote, every single one of my stupid ass thoughts, people were like, oh my God, David, so funny. Oh my God, wow, David, so insightful. Oh my God, wow, David, so this, this, so that. All your food is so wonderful, spectacular. That albacore just looks majestic, Dave. How would that be? Would I be happy? Would it make me feel any better that all these imaginary people pressed a button and gave me a little computer heart next to some dumbass random thought, oh mine? It's hubris. That is what it is. I need my dumb, stupid thoughts to stay in my head. Now, you think I'm telling you everything. That's what you think out there. And, well, you're right. But I shouldn't. And this only contributes to my misery. And my therapist bills. The moral of my story, kids, keep it to yourself. Try it. Try it out. You know, maybe retain some mystery. Maybe go through life not constantly spouting out the mission statement of what you think about any given particular topic. For all of my coming on here and rambling to you about video games or whatever the fuck, my kind of big ticket issues and my thoughts on this, that, or the other thing, I keep them to myself. If you were around me, first, you would ask me politely to stop looking at you that way with such intensity, with such burning intensity. Also, you would say, man, Dave must be crazy. Dave's probably going to come in here with a bazooka someday and blow us all up because he doesn't really say anything. I don't. See, I get all my stuff out once a week. I come on here. I jettison the rubble, I guess. And then I'm on with my day because I know nobody cares. I don't even think I care. So why bother anybody? Why bother anybody with it? I think you'll be happier. I think if you just, if, and I'm not saying, you know, well, probably if you abandon all social media, that would probably be beneficial to everybody involved, but you can go on there, you can browse around, hang out, be a part of the community. I'm not, of course, but, you know, not everybody has my tolerance for solitude, let's say. I bit my tongue just now so hard, that's why that came out weird, because my mouth is filled with pudding and now blood also. So blood put aside, we need to, as a society, stop being so forthright, because not everybody needs to know all your stupid shit. And I'm going to use a term, maybe it's a little cliche, maybe it's a bit old-fashioned, all right? Three words, strong, silent type. I mean, I know these days we can't do the strong thing anymore because it's bad or toxic or whatever fucking dumbass word people want to use nowadays. So fine, I'll settle for silent type. How about that? You know, you ever work with somebody and you look at them and you're like, gee, you know what? I wonder what's going on with that person. I wonder what they think about things. They just show up, they do what the fuck they're supposed to, and they go home, and there's not a lot of monologuing involved in this person. You know that guy, that person you work with that doesn't? No, of course you don't. Because everybody's, you know, look at this, look at my social media, look at me, listen to what I think, listen to what I feel about this, that, or the other thing. And it would be one thing if it worked. It would be one thing if we were happy. It would be one thing if all this sharing of food or the fucking thing you baked or whatever nonsense you decided to share with the world doesn't make you happy. Does it work? It would be one thing if it worked. There was a time, I think, what is it? There's a saying or something like that where it was just, I forget what it was, like the two things you never talk about, politics and religion or something like that. You know, just, and I'm thinking of like Fallout times. I don't know why, but like the 50s or whatever. Just, it wasn't always like this, right? You respected people enough to leave them the fuck alone, right? Just like there's some topics, like just why get into it? Why have this duel at dawn right now when we're just trying to sit down and enjoy some coffee or whatever the fuck? I don't know. But these days, it's almost like that's where the conversation starts. The conversation starts at, oh, what are your most intimate thoughts about this, that, or the other fucking thing? And it doesn't work. Everybody's miserable about everything. secrecy sounds bad. It sounds unhealthy. It's not. It's a completely and totally healthy thing. Just think about how disgusting everyone is today. Going on and on and on about where they want to put the, well, where they like to put their mouths, who they like to fuck, their kink. They're, like, excuse me? Are we really trying to lump in like your weird, gross, disgusting sexual habits with like you as a person? Don't try to like slip that in with the rest of the nonsense, because it's gross. It's completely fucking gross. How about this? I don't care. Keep it to yourself. Nobody cares. You know, stop looking for reassurance from strangers about your stupid, about you wearing diapers and being treated like a baby. Nobody gives the slightest of fucks. All you're doing is grossing everyone out because it's gross. And this goes for everything. People truly overestimate the level of give a shit in people, because the answer is we don't. Privacy. Secrecy. Let's get back to that, guys. Let's get back to that. There needs to be that mystery in life. There needs to be that mystique to peeps far and wide. I mean, I remember relatively early on when like MySpace was picking up, you know, when that was becoming a thing. And it blew my mind when I was young that people would be so comfortable, that people are so comfortable divulging so much about themselves. Like, do you understand how many people beat off to you? Do you know how many imbalanced, mentally malnourished people are just sifting through your disgusting MySpace photo? I mean, I'm talking to girls, obviously, because nobody gives a shit about guys. But just, like, be mindful of this. Be mindful there are a lot of dangerous guys out there. I don't mean in a, you know, gonna hurt you way. I mean in a creepy way. I mean in a creepy peepee way. Creepy peepee. We all got the creepy peepees. All right? I mean, I'm old. My creepy peepee can't do much anymore, but it's still there. The threat still looms in the general area, all right? And, luckily, I'm not lazy, and I mean, I'm too lazy to stalk people. But if I was, let's just say, oh, I don't know, a serial-killing Peeping Tom. I'm only the Peeping Tom part. I'm only the second part. But how easy would it be? I am amazed, actually. I'm surprised that we do not live in a world where every other day there's a new story about some just creepy guy just axe murdering a fucking hot broad. It makes no sense to me, actually. Maybe things are better than I give them credit for, just because of the sheer wealth of private information that people are completely fine sharing with the world. It makes zero sense to me. I don't know. It's gross. It's disturbing. It's filthy. It's raunchy. It's filthy McRaunchy is what it is. And it goes far beyond just personal fucking safety. It's everything. It's every aspect. It's every tenet. It's every facet of life is better with more secrecy. And you're like, well, Dave, well, what about the government? I don't want the government covering things up. I want the government to be transparent. No, you don't. What are you, nuts? Do you know how I cannot even imagine the horror show that the truth is when it comes to the government and what's really going on and what people are really doing with all that money and what this means and what that means and what this was really about and who's really doing shit. You know what? Ignorance be bliss. I'm fine. Just keep the internet working. How about that? And I won't pry too much into other stuff because I don't need to know. Everything is better with Momomo secrecy faux show. Privacy, my dears. It is a precious thing. Try it. Give it a go. Give it an honest-to-goodness try. And then if you're talking with someone, if you're communicating with someone, if you're trying to delve into the archaeological dig site of someone's soul, every now and again you might find something precious. You might find something rare. You might find something that's never been unearthed before. And doesn't that mean more than a picture of fucking food? I mean, sure, it's a hard question to ask. I'm kind of weighing both sides now as I think about it. But I think the effort every now and again just might be worth it. Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 145, Sunday show, another failure in the books. This is what we do. We come on here every single Sunday. We say we're going to do better. We say lies. We tell you lies, sweet little lies. And then we go about our day. And see you Sunday is kind of what I do. Unfortunately, we have coffee. We have talkie. We have privacy. We have it all. But I'm not just here enjoying coffee and having it all by my lonesome. Heavens to Betsy Nosy. Sitting directly. Directly and erectly to my left. Looking concavely confidential. Looking sanctimoniously secretive. He is. The man of the hour, the tower of power, he'll devour toddlers. The one. The only. The immortal. Count Dracula. What it is, Count. What it is and what it will be. The floor is yours. Sweep it. Good evening. It's very good to be here today, Dave. Like you, I'm a big fan of secrets. Are you now? Oh, yes. And you know you're right for once in your life. The ladies do love a man of mystery. Ain't that the truth, Count? You, with your black cloak and your pointy shoes, ooh. Be still my beating heart. Be still my beating nips, Count. With all that mystery that you've got going on. Yeah, people are just generally too open about everything, and it makes people gross. It makes people gross. Not only that, it makes people unhappy. And I am here. The point of this show, Count, I just want people to be okay. I recognize and I realize happiness is an unattainable goal. Happiness is a drug that you will always track down. You will always hunt. Happiness is not the way. The best way to live, the best way to go through life is just to be okay. Like, how you doing? Yeah, I'm all right. You know what? I'm fine with this. Because that can last. See, you can be okay, you can be content forever. But if you strive for the happy, that's a long race. And you'll be running for quite some time. And me? I'm all out of running shoes. Right. Do you have a question for me today, Count? Please? I'm sorry, I'm it's late. We're up against the clock. I hate when we do this. I really do. It makes me nuts. I try. I really do try. I say, you know what? This is it. This is the last Sunday show. We're going to get back to a proper schedule. We're going to do midweek like I originally intended. I'm not going to pull this. I'm not going to hold this off until Sunday. But here we are. No excuses. I'm not going to sit here and give excuses, Count. If that's what you're waiting for, you're certainly not going to get it. I tell it like it is, man. No excuse. I just fail and fail some more, but I do so honestly. My failure is pure. And you could say what you will about it, about my lack of success. It's an honest lack of success. And isn't that the most valuable kind of thing that nobody ever wants ever? Oh boy. Are you done? Is there any... I mean, you've been interrupting me a lot lately, Dave, and I don't like it. I come here with my A game every single week, and it just seems like you interrupt me all the time, so I'm going to sit here and let you get everything out before I ask my question and get interrupted halfway. Testy? You're a little Vinny Testaverde over there, Count. But, let me think. Let me enjoy some coffee real quick. Let me ruminate on the situation. Keeping my thoughts to myself. You may proceed.
Jeez, finally. I mean, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to enter.
Wait, it's like, oh God, it's like that part in Stand By Me, right? Where they're crossing the train tracks or whatever, and Corey Feldman's like, bro, just go across the tracks. And you know, like you dummies can go the long way, but I'm going to go the short way and just cross these tracks right here. And then after you take the long way, I will be alone. I will just be sitting there with my thoughts. And didn't he sound happy? Didn't he sound so content when he said that? Alone with my thoughts. That's the missing key. Be like Corey. People need to be more like the fell. They need to take the fall and take the fell and be like Corey Feldman more times than not. I think we'd all do pretty well. Just sitting back when a decision presents itself and say, how would Corey Feldman handle this? I mean, I certainly think our international situation would be better than it is now. What say you?
Right. Corey Feldman. Exactly. I was just going to say.
That's what I like about you, Count. We're in simpatico. I don't know what that means, but I like it. I like it. Much like our relationship, Count, I don't know what that word means, but I like it.
It's time for Ask Dave.
Then I, Count Dracula, get to ask you, Dave. Any one question that you must answer completely and totally honestly.
Brimming with excitement, Count. I love it. I love the fire and the passion that you bring to our weekly festivities. Also, I'm ready.
Dave! Tell me, what are some of your favorite albums with your least favorite covers?
Whoa. All right, hold on. Count, we're gonna need to dissect this, because you come at me with these massive, you know, deep dives, and I just got to make sure I understand. Let alone the plebeians that we have listening. Okay, so what you're asking me is, albums like songs. What are some of my favorite? What are some of my favorites that just so happen to have awful album covers? Is that what you mean? I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to elevate. I'm trying to raise my game to the point where you are with these questions, because you just come at me from all angles here. I'm just trying to defend myself. I'm just trying to get by.
Yes, Dave. That's about the long and short of it. So, like, an album that you like, but with a cover that you don't like.
The contrast out of you. Listen to this. Anyway, hold on. All right, let me think. Favorite album, worst covers. All right, I got a couple for you. Two spring to mind immediately. I could probably think of more, but two, probably my two top entries here in for your particular Ask Dave. One, well, in no particular order. Reality by David Bowie. It has such good stuff on it, but the cover sucks. It's so, I remember when I got it, and this was such an innocent time for me. I remember back when I would just discover new things, I'd be like, oh, there's a new so-and-so album out. Wow, look at that. I didn't know that. I guess I'll get it. I just being somewhere or finding out in a magazine or whatever the fuck, just reading something. It's such a thrill. It's such a thrill. Like the not knowing, the having something just spring up on you. You know what I mean? We don't have that anymore. Everybody knows, oh, so-and-so's, my favorite band is in the studio. I know every single inch of progress that they make. Once again, secrecy. Count. This leads back to secrecy. The mystique is gone. The mystique-recy of it all. It's the same with celebrity. There is no more mystery. You can touch them. You can interact with them. You can tweet them. Like the time when I tweeted Mike Tyson and I asked him if Hercules could rip a robot in half. He still hasn't gotten back to me. But he will. He's just been mulling it over for the past, I don't know, 10 years or so. There's a lot to consider, to be fair. So yeah, I remember I picked up Reality. I want to say it was around a Christmas of some time when I got it. Slightly after Christmas, close to January. Hold on, let me look this up. Now I'm very, very curious. When was David Bowie Reality released? September 15th, 2003. Okay, well, I got it at around, like, I want to say early January, so a couple of months after it came out, because I didn't fucking know about it. All right. So anyway, let's go into this here. Let's check this out now. I love Reality. I think it's so awesome. Nobody ever talks about it. But I will. I shall. But the album cover is really, really dumb. It's really, really bad, and I think it sucks. It's like, I believe he did it, if memory serves. I think he painted it. I think David Bowie painted that, and it's just like a weird alien picture of him. He's got big eyes, and it's like, no, I don't like it. I don't like that album cover at all. I think it sucks a lot. But the music is fucking phenomenal. The music is great. And there was such a nice surprise. Actually, I kind of like it. that the album cover sucks so bad because it makes your expectations so low. And then you play it and then you're like, oh, wow, there's some really, really, really good stuff on here. So let's go through it. Let's go through this here. 11 songs. And we'll go song by song. So it opens up with New Killer Star, which fucking rules. Love that song. And if you know, it kind of sounds like Nuclear Star. So I like that. I always like that a lot. Pablo Picasso is really, really super cool. Never Get Old, I don't like. Never Get Old is good. I was confusing it with another song. Never Get Old is good. The Loneliest Guy, it kind of sucks. Looking for Water is okay. It's pretty good. She'll Drive the Big Car. Cool. I like that song. I like that song a lot. Days is very fun. It sounds like a video game. It kind of gets into this like boppy kind of computerized video game music pretty early on. It's cool. Fall Dog Bombs the Moon. Interesting name for a song, but cool song. I really like that song. Try Some, Buy Some it's okay, but it's a cover of a George Harrison song. And Reality is all right. It's a pretty cool song. The title track is pretty cool. And Bring Me the Disco King fucking rules. Reality is very, very strong. It's very strong throughout and so underrated. Right now, if you are within the sound, it's 49 minutes. So you can listen to an episode of my stupid show, or you can go listen to some super great music. Just don't look at the cover if you can at all help it. Maybe you should. Maybe look at the cover, be like, oh, this is going to be stupid. And then you play it and then you're like, wow, this is really good. And that will make you happy. A lot more happy than divulging your secrets on Instagram. I will tell you that. I will tell you that right now. So so let's see. I don't have. I think the thing I have was the 2-disc thing. I don't remember the extra songs. There's like 3 extra songs. I don't remember anything particularly standing out. But then again, it's been forever since I listened to the other 2nd disc thingamabob. So Reality is definitely one. Certainly one. Just it just brings back good memories, man. Just good memories of not knowing, of just showing up somewhere and being like, what? There's a new thing out? Cool. Ha ha. What a great Tuesday. And there you go. Life was so wondrous. So wondrous and unexpected. That's pretty cool. So my next one is let's do this. From 2001, a good year. It was a good year. In 2001. Sorry, I had to get some coffee. I was getting very, very excited. So I needed some coffee to help contain the secrecy. We'll say. So my second, to answer you, Count, my second example of an album that I love with a shitty cover is Megadeth's The World Needs a Hero. And The World Needs a Hero is my favorite Megadeth album of all time. It also happens to have the dumbest cover I could probably imagine. If you sat me down and said, Dave, I want you to come up with an album cover, and I would immediately ask, is it okay if I put Corky from Life Goes on it? And you would say, sure. I would say, okay, great. It still wouldn't be as bad as what I'm looking at right now. So 2001, curious choice of covers. And when I purchased this thing, because once again, a long time ago, so the internet was around, but not as ubiquitous as it is now. So it was one of those things where it was like, you know, you kind of just run into stuff and you're like, oh, look at this, and then you get it. So we're gonna go song for song. 2001, here we go. Disconnect fucking rules. I love this song so much. The World Needs a Hero, song 2, the title track, fucking rules, awesome. Moto Psycho rules, awesome. 1,000 Times Goodbye, don't like it. Don't like that one. 5, Burning Bridges, awesome. Awesome song. 6, Promises. Promises is corny. Promises is very, it's silly, and it's corny. And it's kind of cheesy. It's very cheesy, but I like it. I still like it. I don't know what it is. I just like it. I like it a lot. 7, Recipe for Hate, sucks. I don't like that song. 8, Losing My Senses, great. I love Losing My Senses so much. Very cool. 9, Dredge and the Fugitive Mind is like a poor man's Sweating Bullets. It's not good. Dredd and the Fugitive Mind sucks. Song 10, Silent Scorn, is awesome. Love Silent Scorn. Very cool. Which leads into Return to Hangar. I think that's a misprint. I always thought it was Return to the Hangar, but whatever. That's cool. That's really, really cool. I'm not crazy about I don't like sequels to songs, right? I love the music in Return to the Hangar, but I don't know. I don't think the vocals kind of fit. They seem just kind of like tacked on last minute, you know? Sort of like, oh, this needs words. We can't have 2 instrumental songs in a row. Hold on. Blah, 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 blah. And it just kind of, I don't know. But it's cool. It's good. The music is so good, it overcomes the negatives for me anyway. And we close out with song 12, which is called When. Now, When is an interesting case because the song starts with, like, you got to sit through like 2 minutes of Dave Mustaine just whining about how somebody done him wrong. Nobody likes to hear that. Nobody likes a complainer. And it's just complaining to music, pretty much. And nobody needs to listen to that. But once the actual songs, like, it suck. It starts off sucking real bad and being real, real dumb. And then, but once the actual music starts, once the song starts, it fucking rules. And I like it so much. I love this album. I do. I really do. I know I just said a bunch of songs on it suck. Well, not a bunch. Let's see. Hold on. There are 12 songs. I don't like 1 song. I don't like 2 songs. I don't like 3 songs. Yeah. 3 songs out of 12 I don't like. Everything else, thumbs up. That's pretty fucking great, in my personal opinion. I think that's really, really good. I think that's super strong. It's almost like they were like, look, guys, this is too good. We need to kind of shit this up a little bit, so let's do a real stupid album cover. And gold. We're golden. We're golden. Also, while I'm on the topic, count, I got, while we're on the topic here, while we're in the ballpark area, sorry. I didn't know if I was going to cough, sneeze, or pee real quick. I think I made the right decision. A little of all three, actually. So, The World Needs a Hero. Wow, this got real shitty reviews. 2.5 out of 5, 7.5 out of 10. Well, that's good. 7 out of 10, that's good. 3 out of 5. And Rolling Stone album guide, 2 out of 5 stars. Jesus Christ, people hate this. Anyway. The World Needs a Hero. It came at an odd time. And maybe that's part of the reason why I like it so much. Like, I love it. It's The World Needs a Hero was like a righting of the ship. But I don't really like to say that because the previous album was Risk, right? And everybody hated Risk except for Dave. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like phenomenal, fantastic or anything. And there was some, let's just say, curious decisions to be made on there. But here, we'll do that too. We'll go through Risk. Why not? Risk is 99, a good year. 99, a good year. Pretty great. Pretty great indeed. So, what had happened was there was an interview with Lars Ulrich. And they asked him about Megadeth, because Dave Mustaine used to be in Megadeth, and they asked some kind of question about him. And Lars said, well, I like Dave. I think Dave's a talented guy, and I like his music a lot. I just wish he would take more risks with his music. And he said that in an interview. And then Dave Mustaine heard that and said, oh, yeah, well, I'll show you. I'll take risks here. And then he went out and got monkeypox. And then afterwards, after being treated for monkeypox, he got he made Risk. He made an album and called it Risk, which is it's. See, here's my thing. I am not really a purist. See, because Risk has elements of like other stuff in it, you know, I think people overplay it and kind of make it more of a big deal than it is. It's not like it's a fucking techno album or anything, and that's kind of what people are like, oh, Risk, what was that? It's like they made a fucking disco album. Personally speaking, if I'm not married to any particular kind of music. There's just stuff I like, and there's stuff I don't like. You know, there's some genres of music, and I'm sure there's stuff I like buried in there somewhere. So when people like get outraged and they're like, oh, did you hear Risk? It's like fucking techno Megadeth shit. I don't instinctively recoil from that. I think, well, is it good? Is it good techno shit? I don't care if Megadeth puts out a fucking gospel album. Is it good gospel? That's what matters to me. Anyway, but it's just like, you know, it just seems like if they're not singing about summoning demons or anything, then it just doesn't count. I don't know. I don't think that way. But anyway, so let's see. Insomnia rules. Insomnia is a great opening song. But like, I mean, you can't really judge because, of course, the first song is going to be good because the first song is almost always good because that's the point. You open and close strong and the rest, you got a little bit of leeway to work with there. So, you know, Prince of Darkness sucks. It's not good. Enter the Arena is not really a song. It's like an intro. Crush 'Em is corny, but I love it. It's the guiltiest pleasure of Dave's. I love it. I openly love that song. It's so silly and goofy, but I love it. Breadline is a really good song. Breadline's a very, very good song. The Doctor is Calling sucks. I'll Be There sucks. Wanderlust sucks. Ecstasy is great. Song 9 is phenomenal. It's called Ecstasy. It rules. 7 sucks. Time the Beginning and Time the End. Song 11 and 12 are both very good, and I like them a lot. Now look, a lot of it I don't like. There's a lot of it I don't like, but the stuff I like, I love on Risk. So let's see. We got 12 songs. I really, really like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Half of Risk is very good. In my mind, anyway, well, I think it's like half, and I don't know, 12 songs, and I like 6 of them a great deal. That's not bad at all. That's really not bad at all, considering. So I'm not a Risk hater. Obviously, look at me, I'm a Risk taker, baby. Obviously, there. So, but anyway, so Risk came out, nobody liked it. It actually got better reviews than The World Needs a Hero from what I'm looking at. But anyway, I guess that shows what I like in music. But my point is, after Risk, they were like, okay, well, nobody liked that except Dave. I mean, thanks, Dave, I guess. But we have mortgages to pay, so we kind of have to not do this anymore. And so... The World Needs a Hero was kind of them not a return to form, because The World Needs a Hero is generally a slower album. It's more like it's this really, really interesting spot, I think, where it's less like thrashy, I guess, thrash metal, but more like hard rock. I hate these terms, by the way, but if I can, it works for what I'm trying to get at. And it's just, I think it's a nice spot. It's like they're trying to turn and right the ship. And it's kind of like a midway point to them actually getting there. But I love it. I think The World Needs a Hero is awesome. I love it. My favorite Megadeth album of all time. Awful cover. A brutal brutal cover, like an embarrassing cover. If I was like, if somebody was like, hey Dave, what's your favorite Megadeth album? I'd be like, oh, World Needs a Hero. Just don't look at it. Listen to it. Don't look at it. See with your ears, not with your eyes, is what I would say. And Risk, I think, is trashed for no good. 6 out of 12 songs are, I love them. Super, super good songs. Risk is nowhere near as bad as people say. And that's my story. And I am not going back on that story, because it's a good story. It's a story filled with truth, honesty, and just a little bit of secrecy. I tells you. And one thing I never got. Like, in So after Risk, Marty Friedman left the band. And I love me some Marty Friedman. I super duper do. And I think he was incredibly vital to the band's sound for the albums that he was like, what he added was so, you could point it out. You could like pinpoint like, yes, that's Marty. That's my boy Marty right there. And it was awesome. It was super, super great. And he left the band after Risk. And what I don't understand is the reasoning, which I think is kind of bullshit, because he was saying that he got kind of tired of playing that kind of music and he likes all sorts of music and wanted to do more of a variety thing. He said like in I think it was the Megadeth Behind the Music, he was like, he said, I want to paint in multiple colors and Megadeth is just like gunmetal gray, I think is what he said. Which I would understand on any album other than Risk. Like, you just got done making an album that is markedly different from anything else you've ever done. And that's when you choose to leave? You would think that would encourage him to stick around because it was so kind of outside the box, I guess. I don't even really think it's that outside the box. It's different. Yeah, it sounds a little different. But again, it's not fucking rave music, for fuck's sake. I just found it like kind of a bullshit answer. Like, he probably just wanted to leave and go do whatever. And he's doing great. He went to Japan and like is super famous in Japan now. He's like, I think he hosts a bunch of TV shows. So anyway, whatever. The moral of my story is, what's the deal with Japanese porn and all those, let's just say, afros they got down there? What is that? Guys, you're killing me with this. You know, I'm into it, I'm digging it, and then whoa, back up. What is that? Ixnay on the triple yay, huh? Ladies, a little bit? Do me a favor? Count? What do you say?
I think for the first time ever, I kind of have to agree with you on these, Dave.
That's what I like to see. UNITY count between the two of us. Coming in hot. Setting a course. Seeing it through. Another Sunday show. In the books. Thanks to you. Thanks to you.
Oh, Dave, isn't there supposed to be a new Megadeth album coming out soon?
Yeah, totally soon. Like, as in, I wouldn't be surprised if it was out now, but let's check this out here. I'm trying to do this, and I'm bad at it. All right, hold on. Yes, New Megadeth album. September 2nd, 2022. The album comes out. It is called The Sick, The Dying, and The Dead. And the cover is looks pretty cool. Though, I kind of have an issue with the placement. Like, I think it would just look, as an image, I just think it would look nicer if, like, the title was on the bottom centered. Because you got the guy standing there in the center, like, Plague Doc Vic, I guess. And then you got, it's just something about that bothers me, that the title is on the right in an aesthetic way. I think it would look more cinematic if it was kind of just centered. Anyway. Yes.
Are you excited for it, Dave?
Yeah. I'm excited. It's very rare that a band I like comes out with something new, because everything I like is dead and no longer functioning, because that's just kind of how Earth works, I guess. But so it's cool. There's a nice excitement to having new music, and also because of the way I do it. See, because I don't follow this shit. Like, I knew they were working on it, because that was all the, you know, David Ellison stuff with his, let's just say, interesting life choices. So I knew it was coming out, but I didn't follow it. You know, nowadays everybody follows every fucking step of a progress. And oh, we recorded 3 new notes. I redid a guitar part here, you know, and everybody's so just clamoring for any kind of update. I hate that. Again, secrecy. Keep it to yourself. Let me see it when it's done. Like people who follow movies and video games. Oh, I've been following this since the beta came out, and I've been playing this, and I've been watching every single fucking thing. Like the cyber. Okay. Perfect example is the whole Cyberpunk 7042 or whatever. I don't know. Cyberpunk Columbus 1492, whatever. Dick Cheeseburger or whatever. The people who are most upset about that game were the people who were like, I've been following this game for 7 or 8 years, ever since it was announced. Like, well, yeah, well, whose fault is that? Maybe don't do that. Because nothing ever in the history of Earth will live up to that kind of anticipation. That kind of hype of every single day. Oh, look, I got a notification. I'm following this person on whatever Cyberpunk thing. And since I was there since the storyboard meetings. And this game sucks. Well, yeah, because you built it up for 8 years. Of course, anything's going to suck. If 8 years ago I said, oh my God, Dave's going to do a podcast, it's going to be unbelievable. Well, obviously it would live up to the hype because it's just that good. But I'm just saying, normally, by and large, there's just no way. There ain't no way. There ain't no way. And, so I knew it was coming. And I was like, well, give it to show me when it's done. And it's going to be done in a couple of weeks. Cool. Fine. I'll probably completely forget about it until then, and then be very pleasantly surprised when I get to see it. So far, so good. Cover looks pretty neat. I actually saw an interview with Dave Mustaine, who's aged about 80 years in the past 5. And it makes sense, because, I mean, he was sick. He had throat cancer. I remember the interviewer actually, I couldn't believe how dumb this was. The interviewer was like, so it's been 4 years, or about 4 years, since the last Megadeth album, and this is the longest span of time between Megadeth albums ever, since the band's inception in 1912. And I thought, that can't possibly be right. And it totally is. I had no idea. I think like there's 2 years pretty much between every. So yeah, so 4 years is like the longest gap, or 6 years. I don't know. There's a whatever. It's the longest gap in Megadeth albums, but it's not that long. It was like, I think 6 years max, 4 or 6 years. When did Dystopia come? No, that's not six. Hold on. God damn it. Why do you make me do this? I just had this page open and now I got to go back. I got to go back for more. Let's see. 6 years. Okay, sorry, I thought it was 4. So, all right, let's do this. Let's do some math here. So, first album, we'll do a little discography dive. How about that? We haven't done one of these in a while. Discography. First album, Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good, 1985. Not a fan. Never really liked Killing Is My Business too much. There's some stuff that's all right in parts, but as a whole, I'm not a fan. In 86, so 1 year later, their follow-up, Peace Sells, But Who's Buying, awesome, fucking rules, so good. Wake Up Dead is so good. It's so good. I'm going to listen to Wake Up Dead as soon as I turn this off. 1988, So Far, So Good, So What. Not a fan, not too much of a fan. In My Darkest Hour, the music rules. Obviously, it's one of their classic songs. The music is fantastic, but then he starts fucking whining. I think he ruins it with the lyrics. I think in my darkest hour is kind of ruined by the lyrics. And I never really bought that, like, he wrote it when Cliff Burton died, for Cliff Burton, because I don't think that, I mean, because the lyrics are about, it's like some broad that did him wrong, obviously, because Megadeth songs are about like three things. It's about somebody did me wrong, I'm going to get you. Or, you know, hey guys, let's worship the devil. And, or like cars, whatever. So, or government corruption. Yeah. Stuff like that. So far so good. So what? I don't really like it. I don't really like it. I love, again, in my darkest hour, the music rules. And I don't think that, like he said, like he wrote the music for, when Cliff Burton died, but the lyrics are about something else, then I don't think that counts. I don't think you could say that then. This song is about Cliff. No, it's not. The lyrics are about, you can't have a song. You can't be the mute. You can't have the music be about, that's like dedicating a song to one person, but the lyrics being about, like, I don't know, cats or something. It just, anyway. So, Rust in Peace, obviously phenomenal. My favorite Megadeth song of all time is on Rust in Peace, Tornado of Souls. Don't ask me why. I just love it. I love it. Rust in Peace is quite awesome. 1990, so that was 2 years. Countdown to Extinction, 92, another 2 years. And Countdown to Extinction is heavenly awesome, fucking phenomenally great. 2 years later, Euthanasia came out. Euthanasia starts off super strong and then kind of wilts a little bit. But they come back. Victory is an awesome song. Good way to close the album out. And the title track is quite good. 3 years later, Cryptic Writings. I'm not the biggest Cryptic Writings fan. Though Trust is a good song. Trust is really good. And I like FFF, the last song, is super great. Super, super, super great. There's another really good one. What was it? I think you Use the Man, I think. Yeah, Use the Man is quite good on Cryptic Writings. I like that. And then 2 years later, Risk, 99. 2 years later, The World Needs a Hero, 2001. 3 years later, The System Has Failed. Not a lot of good stuff on The System Has Failed. Though it does have probably my favorite. It starts off super strong. Blackmail of the Universe is a tremendously awesome song. B, probably the coolest song name or the coolest title for anything I've ever heard in my life. Blackmail the Universe. That fucking rules. I'm sorry. It's the greatest. It is the number one best song title of all time. Blackmail the Universe. Fantastic. There, like, it starts off okay, but it falls apart relatively quickly. I'm not really a big fan of The System Has Failed. I think The System Has Failed. Failed. So that's 2004. 3 years later, United Abominations. United Abominations, the song is great. United Abominations, the song is fucking great. It's so good. It's so super good. The stuff that I like on United Abominations, I like a lot, but by and large, most of it I don't like. Same with Endgame. I don't think Endgame was particularly good, but it does have some great stuff. But it's just like a lot more that I don't like than I do. Another 2 year span, 2009, then 2011, 13. 13 fucking rules. 13 is so strong. It's so good. So good. I like a lot of 13. The vast majority of 13 is really good. Really good album. 2 years later, Super Collider sucks. But it starts off good. Like, Kingmaker is an awesome song. And the title track is pretty good too. And then the rest of it just kind of Super Collider, not too great. Not too good at all. But I like the cover version of Cold Sweat, like the last song. It's a Thin Lizzy song. It's cool. It's pretty good. It's about gambling, Count. You'd like it. Oh, yes. You know me so well, Dave. I do, buddy. I certainly do. And then Dystopia, 3 years later, 2016. It had some cool stuff. Foreign Policy is great. on Dystopia. I think I played that on the irradiated iPod, Foreign Policy Rules, on Dystopia. By and large, though, the stuff I like is cool, but... And then 6 years later, the sick, the dying, and the dead. So anyway, I was listening to an interview, and the guy said, you know, 6 years between albums, that's the longest span of time between Megadeth albums. You know, what happened? And then Dave Mustaine kind of gave the guy a look and was like, I got cancer. Like, it's not, I'm not laughing that he got sick. I'm laughing at the dumbness of the question. Like, what's the big holdup, man? What, are you fucking lazy or something? It's been 6 years since your last album. What the fuck have you been doing? What have you been doing? You've been putting out music consistently since 1980 motherfucking five. What's the big holdup? It's like, oh, well, I kind of got cancer for a little. I was kind of dealing with the whole cancer thing for a little while. Excuse me. Let's just say something came up in my test results, and I kind of had to deal with that for a little while. How about that? Oh, by the way, I sing, and I had throat cancer, so maybe that was part of it. I don't know. Or I guess I'm just lazy. I guess it's just my poor work ethic. How about that? Like, just the look he gave the guy was just kind of like, what? There was that whole sickness thing. But yeah, so there we go. There we go, Count. Yeah, I'm excited, man. It's cool. It's nice. It's very, very rare that I get new music that I enjoy, because I am a crabby old man who is completely set in his ways and will not tolerate new things in his life. Great, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty great. Pretty great, indeed. In closing, I know it's hard. I know that fucking thing you ordered at that restaurant looks really, really cool, and you could get somebody to pat you on the head and give you and click a little heart button for a picture of what you're about to put in your face. But you know what? Maybe people don't need to know everything going on in your life. Maybe your life is special. Maybe you're special. And maybe the details of what's going on with you are not for general consumption. You have to keep a bit of yourself for you, because that's the person who will appreciate it most. I'm still going to ask for nudes. And if you know what's good for you, you better send them. Allegedly. It's not a threat. But it is a stern demand. With just a taste of malevolence. Implied. Not openly stating that I'm going to do anything. I'm not saying I'm watching you. I'm not saying my face is pressed up against your window in the middle of the night and I watch you sleep. I'm not saying that. But if I was, I'd keep it to myself and my legal team. Good day.